Hello and welcome to Meandering with Myrn, a potpourri of podcasts by me, veterinary ethologist Myrn Milani. Join me as I ponder any and all things animal and human, what we know and what we don't, where we've been, where we are, and where we're headed. Because my clinical work involves working with people as well as animals, I pay attention to what's going on in the human behavioral sciences as well as ethology and the other animal behavior sciences. In an article about concerns being raised about the potential addiction of young people to the use of social media, I came across the work of Robin Dunbar. Robin Dunbar is an anthropologist and an evolutionary psychologist. Based on his research, the average person can only maintain 5 close friendships at one time and approximately 150 acquaintances. Throughout history, this same ratio, this same relationship, seems to have been maintained. That it does have historical significance got me thinking about friendships and acquaintances in the non-human animal kingdom, particularly among dogs. What would determine the social mentality of a dog? When would dogs need to associate with other dogs, and how many other dogs at that time? Females might have a stronger social need in species where they're the primary caregiver of the young. When puppies aren't involved, though, the next social interaction of survival value would be for cooperative hunting. And in that realm, 5 seems like a good number. Hunting packs tend to average around 5 animals, depending on the size of the prey. And if you're hunting as part of a group, you need to have the perception, the brain circuitry, to focus on those different individuals at the same time, because your survival depends on it. So that all made sense to me. The other thing that was interesting in the studies of real and virtual friendships tend to be addictive. Again, particularly in young, inexperienced people, and especially in young women. Which sort of goes along with the nursing bitch with pups theory. She could have a larger litter. Therefore, this deeply embedded need for a closer, intimate support network might be greater than it is for males. The thing about the virtual friends is that system triggers the dopamine circuits of the brain associated with addiction. Meanwhile, the close, intimate contact, being physically with someone, sharing the same space, touching each other, perhaps sharing food or something else, these cause secretions of endorphins, the non-addictive, feel-good substances of the brain. What is the average dog encounter going to a dog park or doggy daycare? It depends on who else is there, just as it depends on who else is there when we go someplace. Are our friends going to be there, or is it going to be a new gang? And if it's a new gang, well, then it takes time and energy to sort them out. Are they worthy of being a friend? Are they just going to be casual acquaintances? How this plays out in any individual dog's life would seem to depend on the stability of the group. If the same group goes to doggy daycare Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, I would expect dogs to be able to form closer relationships in that environment than if you had a more dynamic population that was constantly changing. Same way with dog parks. The other thing this ratio reminds us is that it is not necessary for our dogs to like all other dogs. And when I'm saying like other dogs, I'm talking about trusting another dog enough to play with that dog, but also to stop playing when one has had enough, that one is comfortable enough to sleep beside that dog, that one is comfortable enough to eat and drink beside that other dog. If that's not there, then the dog might have doggy acquaintances, but we can't say that the dog has doggy friends. When it comes to friendship, whether it's human or canine friendship, we tend to be very choosy. No doubt we're choosy because our physical, our mental, and or our emotional well-being depends on it. So at the end of the day, it's not going to be a case of the number of friends. It's going to be a case of the quality of those few good people or dogs.
You've been listening to a podcast by veterinary ethologist Myrna Milani. For more podcasts, commentaries and books about animal behavior and the human-animal bond, and links to behavior and bond sites, check out my website at www.mmilani.com. For more specific information, feel free to email me at mm@mmilani.com. All rights related to the content of these podcasts are retained by Myrna Milani. The background music, Molly on the Shore by Percy Granger, is used with permission from Catova Arts, www.catova.com.